Afternoon, Michael. Good to see you again. We'll start again with team news. Injuries going into this weekend. How's David Kasuma?
Cass is struggling. Felt his other hamstring. So it's not the same one. It's not a repetition. It's not as bad as what we first feared. Again, we were literally trying to make a sub. Because the problem where we're at the minute, everyone sort of gets that to that tipping point. So we were lining him up to come off. And that's when he felt it. So yeah, that's the risk that we're having to run at the minute, just based on numbers.
Jonathan Hogg was missing on Tuesday as well. How's Jonathan?
Okay. The weekend will be touch and go. He's made quite a lot of improvement over the last 24 hours. It was a bit of a strange one. Felt it on Monday. Just went to intercept a pass. Just caught the end of his toe and was caught significantly quite sore 24 hours later, but the next 24 hours, so there's nothing structural. It's just a bit of a twinge, so hopefully we'll see. We'll leave that as a late call.
Any other concerns, and dare I ask, anyone you might be able to welcome back this weekend?
No, I don't think so. Obviously, Ruben got a little bit of involvement the other night, so he'll come back in, but we've got a couple getting closer, but we're still pretty threadbare.
Yeah, you're going to be earning your money, aren't you, selecting a team this weekend? You said last week it's uncharted territory for you, the amount of injuries that are piling up.
It is what it is. It's not only money picking the team, picking the right team, and a team that delivers a better performance than the last two. I think some of our results prior to that, we were probably didn't get the results that we felt we deserved. You know, the Reading game, and I'm not sure some of the others that we lost, we deserved to, but you know, the no qualms against the last two, the been disjointed performance in and out of possession. Which you can use the excuse of lots of bodies, but that's the reality of the situation. So we need to find a way. It's not the end of the world. We've been on a worse run than this and in a worse position than this earlier in the season. For some reason, it feels worse now. I think we dropped down to ninth at one point and lost 7 out of 8. And we've not lost 7 out of 8. We've run a bad run. There's a reality to it, but we're still fifth. So we've done it once. We had a really good start, including pre-season, had a really bad blip, recovered. Now we've got to do it again. After a blip, we've got to recover again. Without being blind hope, just shutting your eyes, we have to improve on certain areas.
Yeah. What are those areas?
We need to pass the ball better. We looked unorganised the other day, which is a first. And we just need to just simple passes. So a little bit of confidence in that as well. So it's having the understanding and trying to give the players the belief that they've not turned into bad players. So it's an emotional game. So it's trying to keep them. You hear it all the time of sticking to the work that we've done all pre-season. We have had to chop and change shape a little bit, which doesn't help, to try and fit in the roundest holes, the roundest pegs and the roundest holes. It's trying to be. Trying to be as positive as we can with the realisation of where we're at. That's the thing. It's easy just to throw your hands up in the air and go, it's not fair. You know, everyone else got it easier than us. It's part of the job.
Yeah.
And part of the job is shared hardship. Sticking together, trusting where we're at, trusting where we've been, what we've been through already in a fairly short space of time, and remaining positive, yeah.
What's the mood been like over the last couple of days? Do you all still feel united, you, the coaches, the squad?
We've had quite a big chat with them this morning. They've been okay. I don't think there's never a question in terms of character, as in assassins in the building. I don't think we've had that. Sometimes we question the character in terms of more personality, of, you know, when the heat comes on, can you do the jobs that are asked of you? So they're constant conversations that you have with the players. Because like I said, it can't be just blind hope. But you can't just criticise, because it's easy to do that. It's got to be constructive. We're trying to create a learning environment. The players do get coached. And again, it's taking the training ground onto the pitch, which hasn't happened often enough recently.
And when you talk about unity and roles in football, I mean, you as a head coach know better than everyone. Through bad runs, pressure comes on people in your position. Have you had any conversations with the people above you about reassurances over the job you're doing?
I've had people with conversations with people above me, but I've not had reassurances on the good runs or the bad runs. Yeah. I live in a world of reality that you know where you stand, but I've said it before, you know, the sack's never driven me in any job that I've done. That's not why I get up in the morning. I don't wake up hoping that might happen. It might happen. This is the world I live in. So, you know, that's not why I've got up this morning and come to work. I've come to work because I'm the manager of a very good football club.
Yeah.
And there's an opportunity to do something. There's loads of work needs doing. And there's every time you need time, you need to survive, to be able to thrive, but you've got to do the first part first. So, you know, it feels like the end of the world at the minute and it's all falling apart, and I get that. It's an emotional game. It's an emotional club. There's been lots of ups and downs in here in the last few years, and this year's been a perfect example of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think with the pre-season and the start of the season, I think we lost one in 11 or 12 games, then we lost 7 out of 8, then we went 16 unbeaten, and I think then we won 3 in 12. So it's literally been that. So you're at a crossroads. Which way do you want to go? Do you want to carry on the slide, or do you want to recover like we've already done twice already this season? That's the challenge to the players. It's not pressure, it's a challenge. Yeah, and we have to be able to accept it and deal with it as a group. So yeah, I've had no reassurance, but I wouldn't ever ring up and ask for assurances either. It's like, you know, like I said, I don't wake up and wonder. I live in a world where eventually you will get sacked, because that's the world that you live in. So, but that's whether it's today, tomorrow, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, it will happen eventually. Hopefully it doesn't, because I think the work that's been gone out has been good in terms of the long-term progress of the football club, but you have to do well enough in the short term as well.
Yeah, and like you say, and I know we've mentioned it quite a lot this season, try not to get too up with the ups, try not to get too low with the lows. The flip side of that, Michael, your team is still sat in those playoff positions. A lot of football still to be played. You and this squad and this club still have a massive opportunity to achieve something this season, don't you?
And we will have players coming back at some point. You know, you'd like to think your luck will turn at some point. You do need a little bit of luck. You always need a little bit. Like, you don't want to rely on luck, but you do need a little bit of luck. There are more and more people starting to come out of the treatment room, getting onto the grass, which is obviously stage by stage. You know, Joe Taylor's been on the grass, Matty Pearson's on the grass for the first time today, and they're still a good bit away. But we want this. This hasn't been the lowest ebb. Like I said, we lost 7 out of 8 and dropped down to 9th. So there is an opportunity. And again, say it again, it's the reality of where we're at. It needs to change. Performances need to change, results need to change. But don't feel the pressure. Take the opportunity, take it as a challenge. They're all competitive people, and it's just trying to free them up a little bit. You know, sometimes you can try too hard. You can be too anxious and want to do too well, which I know you probably look at the last two performances and think, well, I don't think they're trying too hard. They've been running around. The physical numbers tell us that.
Yeah.
So the data that we get, what it looks like on the naked eye might be slightly different, but that's an organisational thing. Like I said, the physical numbers have been really, really good. So they're trying, they're running around. There just needs to be a run smarter and just more quality. Simple 5-yard passes. You know, the second goal the other day, we win the ball back, we give it away, we lose a duel. We win the ball back again, we give it away, we lose another duel. Then we lose another duel, and then two people don't do their job. That's going to end up in a goal. You know, they're mistakes that you can't accept, but you need to show the players that. But they've done it before. They've not become bad players. The only things that chop and change a bit more than what we'd like is the formation and the team. But it's in there, so we've got to find it and get it out again.
And do you, in a way, almost, and look, obviously the factors around it aren't ideal, but do you almost relish this problem solving as a head coach?
The job is, it's very rarely you walk into this job. There's lots of different aspects to it. Like you said, pressure is one. But I've had other pressures in the same job. You've got to stay in the league. You've got to sell a player to survive every year. Different types of pressure. So the pressure, it comes in many assets. It's not just the horrible one where someone gets rid of you. There's expectation at the football club. It's one of the reasons I came to the football club. Because there is pressure, and a good pressure. I'd rather have pressure getting out of the league than staying in the league. And then, yeah, you've got to think on your feet. So when you retire as a footballer, it's easy when you're a player, because you get told what to do, you get told how to play, and it's, if you do your job, it's okay. This one's different. You come out of it, you go into under 18s, and it's, you're dealing with kids. You do the under 23s, and you're doing a session with 11 players, and all of a sudden the manager goes, right, I want six. So you've got to all of a sudden go, right, what am I going to do with these five? So you're thinking on your feet constantly. So the job entails different challenges. And part of the one is, at the minute, it's keeping them on the straight and narrow. Don't let them wander off into their own little separate silos, because that's when you will get in trouble. Keeping the common goal the same. It's been the same. You know, we had notes and had presentations at the very start of the season. And well, have you thought all that at the start of the season? That's the right thing. Yeah. So don't come off script now, because a couple of other things, and outside pressure and inside pressure and injuries, and people overanalyze sometimes and they overthink that everything's wrong. There's been a few things that are wrong, but I don't think everything's wrong. So it's staying calm, trusting in the way that we work and the staff work, trusting in the players that we do have, that we can get it out of them again, without it being blind hope where we just cheerlead them and cross our fingers and we might nick a result somewhere. That's not the way we work.
And when you do go through these hardships, like we've mentioned, result-wise, and there are some frustrations in the supporters, what would you say to those, especially those who are thinking of making the trip down to Stevenage on Saturday?
I fully understand the frustrations. Yeah. Totally, I get that. You know what I mean? It's not, well, we've said it all season, even during the good run, it's our job to get the supporters off their seats. They've watched a lot of disappointment in the last few years. You know, so we understand that. The supporters that have travelled, even the other night, they've been brilliant. They've travelled in numbers, they've been supportive during the game. The other night they were supportive during the game. And at the end, they let us know it was a poor performance. That's the role of a supporter. The key is that we really appreciate the ones that are travelling. We understand the frustrations. The players are frustrated as well. Like I said, I don't think it's a case of down in tools. Now, too many duels that we've been losing, but physically actually running around, it's just doing it with a bit more structure, which hopefully a bit more of continuity in the team selection will help with.
2-1 win against Stevenage at the start of the season. It was a really hard fought win, wasn't it? What kind of game are you expecting on Saturday?
Same every week. There's every team you play create their own challenges. You know, I remember people were disappointed that we only won 2-1, because it was that sort of, oh well, it's only Stevenage. You see it every week. You know, Cambridge beat Stockport last week 2-0. Didn't see it. You know, Peterborough have hardly won, haven't won many games recently. They beat us, they beat Wrexham last night. And people could, Wrexham made a couple of changes, but if you look at the stats, they had 70% of the ball and they had 18 shots, I think, against Wrexham. So the team that they played was the team pre-Christmas with Wrexham. There's some good teams in the league. So we have to, where we're at the minute, we need to worry about us. We need to be respectful, but at some point we need to, like I said, we've had up, down, we need to reverse the path that we're on at the minute. So we need a better performance.
Best luck for Saturday. Thanks for your time.
Come to Stephen Chicken from the
outside. Hi, Michael. You talk about sort of that pressure from the fans, and it's actually from the stands, not being aimed at you at the moment. You know, the chanting has been, if they're looking for ahead, it's Mark Cartwright at the moment. It's attracting a lot of criticism from the fans. Just wondering if you had a response to that at all.
The tallest trees catch the most wind. So when you're in a senior position at a football club, it's part of the job. Like I said, so you know, it's part of the reason why part of the money you get paid is because of that. It's not easy. No one likes criticism at any walk of life. So I think sometimes, I think I said this with the I think it was the Ian Everett one, when you know some of it goes over the top and when it becomes personal and things, but I've not had a conversation with Mark about it. It's not like we sit there and go, well, is it you or me today? It's we have conversations. There's frustrations at a football club. And normally when there's frustrations at a football club, the people that are in the line are normally at the top of the tree. That's where Mark sits, that's where I sit. So it's, you know, I don't not had that many conversations in terms of how you're feeling about it sort of thing. But there's an acknowledgement that we need to see improvements in certain parts of the area. But there's there's other bits that go on that people don't see as well. So we don't want any booing. We want people to be cheering us off the pitch, not for my sake and not for Mark's sake, because we all want the football club to do well. That's the driving factor. That's why you get up in the morning, because I feel privileged to work at a massive football club with huge potential. But that's all it is, potential at the minute, and it's getting through that thing. Mark will think the same thing. You know, you've got an ambitious owner. Brilliant. I'd rather work for an ambitious owner than an owner that you've got to sell a player every year. So you work really hard to develop a player, he's your best player, and then you've got to sell him. Different types of pressure. So, it all feels a bit doom and gloom at the minute, which I totally understand. Like I said, we live in a reality, but there's also, you know, I don't think that the team, the squad, have become toilet in the space of 6 weeks. You can't go 4 months unbeaten and then in 4 or 5 weeks completely fall apart. But we do need to be better, definitely.
Yeah. First halves have been particularly troublesome. I think it's one goal in the last 12 in first halves of games. It's, you know, I'm sure you'll accept there's a responsibility on you as well to work out why is that happening. Is everyone motivated for every game, etc.?
I think the difficult part with that is that, and we've had this conversation with the players, why does it take a half-time tweak or a change in personnel? Because a lot of the times we haven't changed that much in the second half in terms of tactically. So we did on Tuesday night. We changed the shape on Tuesday night because we felt it wasn't quite right. But that's a little bit of an ownership on the players, because, you know, coming in we don't rejig that much.
Yeah.
And it's normally the same team, maybe one or two players. And they say, well, if it's right in the second half, why wasn't it right in the first half? So part of my job, I totally understand that. But the match prep's been the same all season. The information's been the same all season. And like I said, we've been inconsistent.
Yeah.
The football club's been up and down over the years. We've been up and down this season. It's just trying to get it all a little bit calmer. But you're going to have to win a couple of games first to settle it down again. But part of the problem has been first halves, absolutely. We're living in a reality that we know that.
Yeah. This is genuinely curiosity rather than criticism, but I'm just wondering, we've seen Joe Hodge a lot from the bench recently, despite sort of, you know, numbers being thin in midfield. Just wondering if there's a particular reason for that at all. Or
I think Hodge's been better when he's come off the bench than when he has started.
Yeah.
I had the conversation with him last week. He came and knocked on the door. I fully expect him to come and knock on the door. And he agreed.
Yeah.
He agreed that when he started, he hasn't been as good as when he comes on. But he's getting to a point now where he's coming on and starting to affect games. I think Anthony Evans, in the last probably 2 or 3, 4 weeks, when he's come on, he's had more of an impact than Joe, which is why he got a start ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I can have this conversation with you because I've had it with him.
Yeah.
I said, just be honest with people all the time. You know, don't have to fluff it up. And the fact that he agreed with me, but it shows that he's a competitor, shows that he wants to play, shows that he's hungry. Got injured at a bad time for him, because he got injured and we were on a really good run. But now, you know, Kess is injured, Herbie's injured. So that midfield three that have sort of kept us going for quite a long time, it's someone else's turn now. Mm-hmm. So when he gets on, as he has done the last couple of times, he's got on and impacted the game really well. So if he gets a start, he needs to be better than when he has started.
Is that part of your thinking as well, that you want to have, knowing that there's certain players who maybe can't do 90 minutes, you want to make sure you have someone from the bench who can impact a game?
Yeah, well, the subs have impacted the games quite a lot.
Yeah.
We are at a point, unfortunately, you're nearly in March and it feels like pre-season where he can only do this, he can only do that, and then you run a risk and guess what? He blows up, Cass. And that's why Nigel's done so well to get through the last two games, because you finished the game last Saturday without a centre-half on the pitch.
Yeah.
I'm really conscious when I'm up here. I don't want to sound like I'm crying and, you know, violins out and all things like that. But it's difficult. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of injured players. But there are the last two teams that have played have been good enough to win the two games. That's the reality. So it's, you know, that's not me. Oh, injuries are killing us.
Yeah,
they're killing certain things. They're killing continuity. They're killing the organisation and all. They're having to change shape. But the actual individuals out there have been good enough to win the last two games, but we haven't been good enough as a collective.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to improve.
That's all for me. Thank you.
Cheers, Steve. We'll just come to Leon Robshaw from the Yorkshire Post last.
Hiya, Michael. Good to talk to you. I was just sort of thinking this situation you're in tactically is the biggest, toughest fix you probably had in your sort of managerial career, really. You know, just trying to, you got that many players out, some in key positions, and you're trying to, you know, get a sort of system that sort of works, really. I mean, just it seems so difficult at the minute.
Yeah, that's it has been a challenge. It's been a challenge. It's you're scratching your head constantly, and you finish the game on Tuesday night, and you're really disappointed. I'm just pleased I can actually talk to you today. yeah. But yeah, you're waking up on Thursday morning, and you're like, well, I don't know who's going to be fit, and I don't know what formation we're going to play. So it's not easy. And then today we've done literally next to nothing. Well, there's been a group that have trained, but a lot of the others have done next to nothing in terms of on the grass. And then you've got probably an hour tomorrow to try and prep. And that's the difficult bit. One thing I've always prided my teams on being is organised. I think any team, anyone that's ever watched any one of my teams, I came in at the very start, has been fit, strong and organised. And even there's been some criticism early in the season that maybe we weren't free-flowing enough and we were a bit slow with the football and things, but we were always fit, strong and organised. And the last couple, we haven't been particularly strong or organised. And that's because of the lack of training groundwork that you get with the players. And the way that we work, we don't just toss magnets at a board and hope for the best. Sometimes it might look like that, I get that. But it's, yeah, so that is a challenge. It's hopefully one that you get through and you improve. So then when you come against it again, you're even more experienced and you're better for it. And you always learn from good experiences, good and bad. It's tough, but it's weirdly an enjoyable challenge because you want to prove that you can do it. You want to prove that the group can do it. Because I firmly believe that they can turn it around and we can turn it around.
If you can get sort of through these next couple of games with something, I mean, you're playing two big, strong, physical opponents. I mean, you've got your three main centre-halves not playing. I suppose it could be as big as anything this season, couldn't it?
A lot of the team hasn't been that consistent because, like I said, because of the injuries. But the players that maybe were out the picture or had to sit and wait are getting opportunities now, so it's up to them to take those opportunities. Which is why we talk about your training every day needs to be, because you need to be ready, because you might only get one or two opportunities and might not see you again, because it's a cutthroat world that we live in. It's what you lose in certain aspects you gain in others. So, you know, Matty Pearson, Tom Lees, Misha, you know, big, strong, physical organisers, warrior totes, you know, Rads, Nigel, Brody, more athletic. So, yeah, they all have their pros and cons. It's trying to get that magic formula back together, and it's trying to take the doom and gloom away from the players. You know, they're feeling it. There's no getting away from that. I genuinely don't think it's because they don't care, and that's what motivates me. That I think they're still running for us. I think they're still trying. It's just looked a little bit disjointed was probably the main word I used the other night, and that's it's last. So we need to try and get back to try and make it as fluid and as seamless as possible, whilst being lots of bumps.
Yeah, you said a few weeks ago you no plans of the sort of free agent market. Does that sort of stay the same? You sort of look at it, and if you won injury away at centre half, maybe from a real sort of crisis, that sort of thing.
I just think, with the people we got coming back for fitness, it will take someone that long to get fit anyway.
Yeah.
So then you're just carrying bodies for the sake of carrying bodies. It might be worth it for the immediate, but no one's going to come in match fit now, not nearly in March. I don't think I don't think it's a market we need to look at, to be honest.
Yeah. I was going to ask you finally, Joe Taylor. I mean, is he far away from back on the grass? Potentially being included on a bench sometimes, something like that. I know
you. Yeah, he won't be long. But again, the clamour will be, well, just throw him straight in. You know, Joe's hardly not played a lot of football at all this year. So he's probably more, we need him for the now, but he's one for the future. Like I said, there's a lot of work been going on at the football club for the future, but you've got to get through this part first. And Joe, we need to help him get through the first bit. But Joe will be a good player for the football club, no matter who's here, what division you're in. He'll be a good player for the football club.
Best of luck, Michael, as always. Thank you.
Cheers, Leon.
Cheers, Leon. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll speak to you again soon.